May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Love God, love your neighbour as yourself. It is as simple and as difficult as that. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Rabbi Hillel, who lived in the first century BCE, was a famous Jewish teacher. A Gentile came to him and asked him to teach him the entire Torah so that he could convert to Judaism. Rabbi Hillel converted him, saying, "That which is despicable to you, do not do to your fellow. This is the whole Torah, and the rest is commentary. Go and learn it." The Torah is the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, which most Christians call the Old Testament. The books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Torah contains the creation and flood stories of Genesis and stories of the great family, Abraham and Sarah, Hagar and Ishmael, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and his brother Esau, and Jacob's wives, Leah and Rachel, and their handmaids, Bilhah and Zilpah. These stories of sibling rivalry and the patriarchy which governed family life are full of intrigue, submission due to circumstances, and subversion. The scriptures do not hold back in painting life in all its complexities and realities. The story of the people of Israel and their relationship with the nations around them continues in the story of Joseph and his brothers, who come up to Egypt due to a famine in their land. Life for the Hebrews becomes tough once the Pharaoh, who knew Joseph, is no longer around. Moses is the one who leads the people on their Exodus journey into freedom and the promised land. The problems in this scenario were twofold. Problem number one, the people were a grumbling, complaining lot. Moses led them through the wilderness on their journey with their God guiding them on the way. The second problem was that the land which they were promised already had people in it. The passages of scripture which describe this are ones that we need to wrestle with, and the answers are not straightforward. In today's reading, Moses stands on the cusp of entering the land promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Moses, after all his toil, can look but not touch. No one knows the place where he is buried, so the resting place of Israel's great prophet cannot become a site of veneration. His gift to his people is the Torah, the story of his life and the laws given to him by God, the 10 best ways to live, and the laws concerning worship and holy living that the people of Israel needed to follow. The Torah contains both story and law. It is from the Torah that Jesus quotes the well-known passage in Matthew's Gospel, "Love God and love your neighbour as yourself." As followers of Jesus, we must never forget that we overhear the story of biblical Israel. We come to the scriptures and to the God who created us as second hearers, as those who have been invited into a story which is already in motion. The body of Jesus becomes the place where Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, can be joined with God and with each other. This passage in Matthew's Gospel did not become Christian scripture in isolation from Jewish scripture. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, "You shall love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the great and first commandment," says Jesus, "and a second is like it." Jesus then quotes from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, "You shall love your neighbour as yourself." The book of Leviticus can rightly get a bad rap in modern times due to the intricacies of the law which are described, many of which seem irrelevant to life lived outside of the time it was written. And yet it contains wisdom for us still. Two visions of holiness and imitation of God are on offer. The first is a vision of purity, where people need to keep certain customs and regulations in order to remain holy. The other vision of holiness and imitation of God fully embraces the messiness of life. For loving our neighbour in our midst and the stranger in our midst, both of which are commands in Leviticus, is messy and it's hard. It is also beautiful and wonderful. I share an office with someone who is part of a refugee support group who welcomes refugees to Canberra and helps them with their material and social needs. It is messy and hard, and it is beautiful and wonderful. Yesterday at the Holy Covenant Mini Fete, I saw people reaching out to neighbours and strangers and raising funds to reach even more. This was messy and hard, and it was beautiful and wonderful. The Holistic Care Program, which helps neighbours and strangers with decluttering and many other things, it's messy and hard and wonderful and beautiful. In so many ways at Holy Covenant, we show where our heart is by what we do as individuals and collectively. It is messy and hard, beautiful and wonderful. In other circumstances, being a neighbour is more costly. I think of the Palestinian Christian woman, Jean Zaru, whose Muslim neighbours read passages like the ones we heard today about Moses peering into the Promised Land, a text often used to justify the occupation of the Palestinian people due to socio-political as well as religious reasons. And they ask her, "How is it that your scriptures and your God can allow our oppression?" This issue is not straightforward and is beyond the scope of this sermon. However, I will say that when we read scripture, it is not in a vacuum, and there is a responsibility which comes with it. Within the world of the text, we seek a word from the Lord for our time. And this can mean asking questions, looking at the original context, and what it means to read this scripture today from our own perspective, and hearing from others to understand their perspective. Our responsibility is not only to speak of love of God, neighbour and stranger, but to challenge structures which inhibit life in all its fullness. Last week in the Weekly Bulletin, Richard Browning mentioned the Timor Sea and the way that Australia has underhandedly robbed our neighbour, Timor-Leste, of oil and gas resources, which under international law everywhere else in the world would rightly be theirs. On Australian soil, Indigenous leader Galloway Yunupingu calls the neighbourly relations between First and Second Peoples uncomfortable. Buried in the news this week was the Cabinet's rejection of the Referendum Council's recommendations on constitutional recognition. We will all have different opinions on what constitutional recognition will mean for First Peoples in Australia. But when I think about treating others as I would like to be treated, I lament the fact that there is not the political will to follow through with an Indigenous voice to Parliament as put forward by the Referendum Council. Dr. Jackie Huggins, co-chair of the National Congress of First Peoples, says there is a wound in our nation. The Uluru Statement of the Heart, a historic document written by 250 First Nations representatives, outlines steps forward in healing that wound. These steps are a voice to Parliament, regional truth-telling, and acts of recognition of First Peoples in all Australian parliaments. The statement concludes with the words, "In 1967 we were counted, in 2017 we seek to be heard. We invite you to walk with us in a movement of the Australian people for a better future." This kind of listening to our neighbour requires a change of heart, willing to accept that the status quo needs changing. In a different but related way, this sort of change of heart is the sort that Lindsay McDowell from our parish and his team are seeking with their national act of recognition, something that I'm sure he'd be happy to talk to you about any time. Loving our neighbour as ourselves requires listening and acting. It can mean walking across the street to check in on someone, lighting a candle to say a prayer, or making a phone call or sending a text message. The way of Jesus is a way of love and a way of joining with creation and joining disparate groups of people together. This is our calling. It also means that our method should match our message. Loving God is more abstract than love of neighbour, and yet that is where, as Christians, we start. In Christian meditation, in prayer, in worship, in our reading, our thinking, our actions, our service, we love God. And this love of God is not done only individually. It is also lived in community. In all of St. Paul's life and witness, in his imprisonment and in his pastoring of the Thessalonians, he is never alone. In today's epistle reading, it is never I, it is always our ministry that he refers to. As followers of Jesus, we are not called into this venture of holy living and holy loving without having the gift of each other. So be kind to each other, to neighbour and to stranger, and be kind to yourself. Love God and love each other. It is as simple and as difficult as that.